glory, 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 glory.
Glory,
glory, glory, glory, glory.
Glory.
Well, Father, we thank you today.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord God, and we count it all joy, Lord God, to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to come before you boldly by the blood of Jesus, because of the Son of Jesus, because of the resurrection power of your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, I count it an honor to stand before your people today, Lord. Let them not see me, but see Jesus, Lord. Let your glory continue to fill this place, Lord.
Yes.
God. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord God, for change, Lord, manifesting in their lives so that you'll be glorified. Lord, we lift up Bishop Pate and Lady Pate while they are out and the assignment that they are on, that you'll continue to strengthen them and use them and open doors for them that no man can shut. Lord, we thank you for the elders here and the music ministry and the congregation and everybody that has set foot in this place today. God, I ask that you manifest your love upon them, God. And we'll be so mindful to always give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
For such a loving and warm reception. It's always good to be home. Amen. As Minister Max said, 25 years. I'm not telling my age. And I hope my hair don't expose too much of, but guess what? I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I read somewhere in the Word, I don't know about your Bible, but it says something about 120 years. We got a way to go. For those that give up and be trying, I'm dying, I'm sick and tired. Well, read the Word, because you're not lining up with the Word if you're sick and tired and you're ready to go home and be with Jesus. Because he ain't trying to have you up there right now. Got work to do. You know, it's interesting how the Lord moves. I was home minding my business, but waiting on God's assignment and business. Yesterday in Mobile, and you know, I had packed a suitcase. This is true. I had packed a suitcase, and because I knew I had to come here later in the week for another assignment, and I left and went down, and I put the suitcase in the car. I thought I'll put the suitcase in the car for the weather change. Then I get a text from Bishop and Lady Pate. We 1 hour out of Mobile. Are you available? Yeah. Where can we meet? Okay. So we met for tea. And that tea turned in me standing here today. I walked in the door. Bishop says, "Miss Pat, I need you to be at Church Points tomorrow morning." I said, "Yes, sir." Hey, we going to Montgomery and have an assignment there, but some business there. And I said, before he said that, I said, "Oh, if I'd have known earlier, I would have rolled with you." And Lady Pate said, "No, we need you to go the other way." Now, this is after 9 o'clock last night. So if I stumble a little bit today, it's because I haven't slept all night. It's dangerous to put me on the highway. I could have got a DWI. And I would have been guilty for driving while ignited. I kept looking. Now, when I met him last night, I must tell this story. I saw the blue lights and the police stopped me. I said, "Sir, did I do something wrong?" He said, "I'm going to tell you about it. Where your license?" I said, "I'm just trying to meet the bishop. What you want, you know?" And my tag had expired. You know, in Louisiana, it's every year, every 4 years. There is every 6 months. I don't have time to keep up with every 6 months. So I got a ticket. Now, you know, my little attitude went to, I know I should have stayed home. I wasn't feeling too good. I started to tell them, "Look, I'll catch y'all on the way back." That's what I really wanted to say, because anyway. But I said, "Okay, Lord." So I told man, I said, "You can't give me no warning or nothing." He said, "No, I'm going to give you this ticket. You might get another ticket. So you might get stopped again going here and there." I said, "I'm not going to get stopped again. Don't be speaking that on me." "Yeah, you might get stopped up in Pritchett." I said, "I'm not going to Pritchett." Pritchett is like, and I hope nobody lived, Pritchett is not a nice, so good area, you know, and you don't go there in the daytime, not long at night. I said, "Why are you speaking all that stuff on me?" Anyway, but the Lord knew I would be coming to Louisiana, and I needed that citation coming out of the state as proof that I'm aware that my sticker has expired and it's whenever the Lord releases me to get back over there, I'll get it taken care of. Is that all right? See, the Bible say all things do what? Work together for the good for those who what? Love the Lord and who are what? Called according to his purpose. Now, I'm making jokes with the man. You know, I could have had a really bad attitude. You know, like some people do. Not nobody in here. I say, okay, God, must gonna be some good. Come out of this somewhere. And then I told myself, I ain't got no money to be giving the city of Mobile. Anyway, thank the Lord. Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Anybody here offspring of Christ? For in him, say in him. See, not in ourselves, not in our situation, not in our job, not in our home, not in our community, but in him we live and move, action word, and have our being. God is always moving. Do you know the Spirit of God never is still? It's always moving. So if the Spirit of God is always moving, can you tell me why some people in the body of Christ, like you say in the old days, a bump on the log? They don't never get about the Father's business. You know, I'm just going to sit here and wait on God. Well, God is waiting on you to get in him and have a life and live and move and have his being. Now, I'm not going to be here long with you today. I'm just going to be here long enough for the Lord to make a deposit. To change, if not your circumstances, someone you know. Amen. Say this. Say, the word is not just for me. But it's for someone I know. Okay, so in him, are we agreeing in that? In him we live. Can I tell you there's no life outside of him? Amen. So if you see somebody that's dead, chances are they're not in Christ. If there's a situation that doesn't have any life to it, chances are it is not of God, according to the word. Now, Jesus in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was what? Moved. And he was moved how? With compassion. See, some people move out of anxiousness. Some people move out of frustration. Some people move out of ignorance. But the word says, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, what are we seeing in this hour? I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'll turn it every now and then to get a pulse on how to pray. And I saw this cruise ship upside down. Now, there should have been a whole lot of compassion of people moving in that situation, not only to the ship, but to the people that were on the ship, family and friends, to comfort them during this destruction. Can I tell you in 2012, there's going to be a whole lot of destruction, and the body of Christ needs to be able to see and know how to move in compassion. Now, I'm not here to prophesy doom. I'm here to tell you, to give you a warning so that you can be prepared, so that you won't be shook and knocked off your rocker when it hit. Now, I want to make a disclaimer. Say, it's not going to hit my house. Oh, that was very weak. Say, it's not going to hit my house if I live and move in him. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. The people gave up. You know anybody that's tired in this economy? You know anybody been looking for a job and that's on unemployment, that have given up and they're fatigued? You know anybody that didn't get their raise or they didn't get their promotion or they lost their car or they lost their home and they frustrated? Oh, I wonder if you could see and move with the word of the Lord. In compassion. Bishop Pate taught me years ago. He said, you don't see, you don't hear with your ears. I'm like, Bishop, I wish you told me. You know, Bishop be saying some stuff. Y'all recording this? I'm telling the truth. He be so deep with revelation. You don't hear with your ears. I'm like, but what I've been doing all this time? You hear with your eyes. You hear the voice of the Lord with what you see. When God reveals a thing to you, whether it's in the natural or the spirit, it's for you to do something. It's for you to move in him, whether it's in intercession or in an act. Okay. All right. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Here it is again. I'm going to give you several scriptures where Jesus was moved, but he moved in compassion. And every time he moved in compassion, there was an action. He moved and he saw a great multitude and moved toward them. He didn't run away from the situation. He didn't turn his head and say, that don't apply to me. He's like, I don't want to get inside. I don't want to get involved because they might come after me. He said, I saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. See, when you're in compassion, healing flows. You want to know why so many sick people? Because there's nobody with compassion ministering the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord does not fail. You know, they want to minister and take the glory. Oh, I prayed for them and they got up. That's why they don't get up. Because you're trying to get the glory. Oh, God. Jairus' daughter. Jesus was in a multitude of crowd, and he was moving. He was going somewhere. And the man came running. And he said, oh, Jesus, Lord, my daughter has died. And Jesus looked with the eyes of compassion. He said, don't fear, only believe. Do you know in the body of Christ, Christians are not necessarily believers? I'm a Christian. Okay, but are you a believer? Because if you believe, I want to see some signs and wonders following, baby. If there are no signs and wonders following, that's the element of doubt and unbelief. And we need to root that up and tell it got to go to H-E, hockey stick, hockey stick. Amen. The multitude was sick. I understand that Baton Rouge is in the top with HIV/AIDS. And here it says, then the Lord that was moved with compassion, I'm getting ahead of myself, he healed the leopard. Leprosy then was an incurable disease and nobody wanted to touch it. They didn't want to be around that. Don't you know AIDS, HIV right now, people don't want to be bothered, and your children and children and teachers are affected by it and walking around with 3-piece suits. You need to be able to see with compassion what the Lord wants to use you to do in this hour. Oh, if somebody was bold enough to get to someone that is stricken by a deadly disease and have compassion in their heart and say, you shall live and not die and see the salvation of the Lord. If somebody was bold enough to lay hands on the sick and tell cancer, no. No more spreading. No more radical cells. This person's time is not up. Yes. See, when you have compassion, you go see about somebody. I got to tell you this. I got to expose this spirit. I was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity in severe pain. Not long ago, about a year or so ago, couldn't walk, can't get out of my bed, couldn't fix me nothing, blah, 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 blah. And the people that I thought. The ones I thought. They didn't have compassion. Nothing wrong with her. And so while I laid there, I put the tapes on, a CD, I'm listening to the word. I said, Lord, if you let me off from here. And you know what the Lord revealed to me? That when people are sick, I need to do a demonstration. I need to demonstrate. I need to demonstrate. Oh, give me Brother Harnett. Brother Mac, please. Please. When people are sick, let me see what I want you. Where did you go? Can you lay down here, one of y'all? Let me run here. Lay down. One of y'all lay down. See, I don't know which one of y'all, but now you, I want you to sit on top of it. Come on now. Hurry up. Now, Brother Harnett, I want you to try to get up. See, oppression. Whenever there's a sickness, there's a spirit of oppression and heaviness that comes over the person, and they can't fight like they normally fight. And you need to go to these sick places, in these nursing homes, these hospitals, your family members, and tell oppression, you got to go in Jesus' name. Loose up and let them go free. Come on, Harnett, try to get up. man of God, I tried to get up. Where your wife at? Come here, Sister Harnett. I know you love him. I know you stand in the gap for him. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on, quick. Lay hands on him. Pour all on him. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Come on, free him. Free him. Come on, do all you know to do. Look at oppression. See, you don't know oppression there. Because soon as oppression move, come here, man of God. Come on, get them feet right there. Soon as oppression move, he feel a little something. Get up, brother Matt. He feel a little something. He trying to get up. Let him up. Get him up. Now fear got him. I can't walk. I might fall. I'm weak. I'm sick. The doctor say. What did Jesus say? Get up, Harnett. Come on, you know the word. You're the man of God. Get up. Your wife intercede for you. Get up, man. Get up. See what I'm talking about?
Glory.
Compassion. See, love had to come. Unconditional love had to come. Thank you, gentlemen and lady. And to loose that person. How much compassion do you have to get busy about the Father's business in 2012? That people that are bound in their bed, that you go see them or call them on the phone and do warfare till you see signs and wonders following you.
The doctor.
Well, I know a physician, and he said, don't fear. Only believe. You have to know that people that are ill, they go through this nighttime darkness. Fear brings about torment. I met fear the other day. Somebody called me about a situation. They just, yeah. And I was like this. But I didn't attack them because I had to have compassion and ask God instructions how to get them from out of fear into faith. And they said, I know Jesus is going to do it, but. I said, uh-oh. Ooh-wee. Am I helping somebody? I hope I'm helping somebody. Oh, God. Okay. Jesus said, don't be afraid. See, he taught them. When you have compassion, people, there is always an action. You cannot see something needing to be done and don't do something about it. What is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, showing you, and you're not doing anything about it? You're saying, yeah, I know they should. Yeah, you know if they do this. Yeah, you know we ought to do. Oh, here's a good one. What we used to do. We don't do it like that no more. We used to do. 30 years later, you see, technology is forever moving. I can remember when I was in business years ago, I wonder what I did without a fax machine. Running all around the place taking papers. Gas almost $4 a gallon right now. What do we do without texting? So if the world is changing, why do we get stuck like Chuck and refuse to be evolved or reformed into what the Lord is doing right now? You can't drive a car looking back. When I was driving here, I had my pedal to the metal, and I was praying in tongues. And I said, oh, God. But I was watching the speed limit because I already had one ticket. But I wasn't driving all the way looking behind me. But I looked back at 9 in the rearview mirror. We got to stop looking back.
Come on now.
And embrace what God wants to do with us anew.
Yes.
We've spent too much time looking back. And I'll tell you why. Here's why people look back. Because they're scared. They're scared of the new. They are afraid of change. And the word says, you stiff-necked, rebellious generation. Holding up a move of God because you're scared. You want to stay in familiar territory. You want to talk to people who are going to agree with you whether you're right or wrong. Not in this house. Somebody you know. Oh, the title of this message is Move with Compassion. Move with Compassion. And the subtitle is, when are you going to move? Let's define compassion. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy or sorrow for someone who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Jesus. Compassion is a noun. It's a feeling of deep sympathy. And it's so deep that it's for someone who is stricken. So compassion not for you. It's not for me. So when last time you had a deep sympathy or sorrow for someone stricken and tried to do something about it to alleviate the suffering? Don't answer that question. Now, compassion, it goes with a verb, which is an action word, and it's compassionate. Being compassionate. Being action. Compassionate. I challenge you this morning to take it to another level of being compassionate. Now, what did Jesus do when he was moved with compassion? He always solved a problem. Whether it was the person bound by demons, whether it was the blind man, whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, he always solved the problem. Don't you know the Lord wants to use you here on this earth to be the solution, an ambassador for Christ to solve somebody's problem because you have the answer? We know Jesus is the answer, but do we live and move as if he's the answer? Is he living and moving in us, through us, around us? Are you scared of the devil? No. Can somebody please tell me why Baton Rouge at the top of crime and murders and rape and dropout and HIV/AIDS? Can somebody please tell me what is the body of Christ doing? They're stuck like Chuck, selfish and not with compassion when these young boys drop out of school and end up in jail, when these young girls get pregnant and molested. Nobody's saying anything because there's no compassion, that's selfishness. And I come to tell you this morning, the Lord is charging you to stop being selfish. Stop being a respecter person. Well, it ain't mine, I don't know them. I thought you wanted to be used by God. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved by compassion with healing, teaching. Oh, here's one. I know you're going to like this one. Maybe. I ain't called to heal. That ain't my calling. I ain't anointed in that area. Devil done lied to you. Got you on park. Not even cruise control. Park. Matthew 18:27. Then the Lord of that servant, say servant, was moved with compassion and loosed him, say loose him, and forgave him of the debt. Uh-oh. I just wonder how many people you know want to be debt free. I just wonder how many people you know want to be relieved of the debt. I just wonder. I'm going to tell you how you get free of debt. Here it is in the scripture. You got to have compassion. Yeah. Oh, my mom was in so much debt years ago. And I was in so much debt, and the Lord said, I want you to teach the people how to get out of debt. Huh? I'm going to teach them how to get out of debt. And I got debt everywhere. I got business debt. I got personal debt. I had personal debt. And when I got business debt, I didn't know I was going to have two debts. And the Lord said this to me, what you do for another, I will personally do for you.
Yeah.
Do you want the Lord to personally do something for you? Well, here's the answer to the test. Do something for somebody else without a motive. Without, I did this for you, and now what you gonna do for me? No. You just nullified the miracle. You want a miracle? Be used as a miracle for somebody else. Oh, it could be something simple. The other day, I was, doing my little budget, and the Lord spoke to me to take this single parent to dinner. She had four children. I'm like, You cook? No. Your children like shrimp?
Yeah.
You want to go to dinner after get out of school? Yeah! I'm like, okay. You know what I was excited about? I had heard from God.
Yes.
Amen. See, I said, okay, then meet me at such and such a place. And I didn't take them to round the corner greasy spoon shrimp fried and all last week. We went to a 4-5-star restaurant. And it didn't matter that the children didn't have all the etiquette lessons. They learned them on the job training.
All right now.
Then she brought up nephew. I had added my little stuff up, my little budget. When my nephew wanted to go to church with me tonight, so I'm like, Lord, all right. And you know, I forgot to calculate the drinks. The drinks was $2.50. I'm like, oh, gee. And they got to, I want Coke. I want Pepsi. I want Sprite. I'm like, oh, Lord. Yeah, I was going to get them water, Sister Woody. I'm giving you some shrimp. Oh, those kids enjoyed themselves, and I enjoyed them. We had conversation, and, you know, and I don't say this to be negative, but, you know, one of them, we had to show them how to use the knife and to put, you know, that was just good. That was just really good. I was happier than we talked about sports, and because I'm from Louisiana and I don't particularly like a particular team, but I kind of say something and they in Alabama, so you know what the conversation was at the table, because the team ain't even show up in the dome. She had 4 boys and a girl, and with the nephew, it was 5 boys and a girl, so I had to find a common denominator to talk to them, to show them some compassion. What you do for another, God said, I will personally do for you. Now, what I didn't know was she told me the next day, because at the end, you know, the devil always want to show up and do something. At the end, I got to tell you this now, my card didn't work. And so, you know, it wasn't a restaurant where we go to all the time, you know. And here come the waitress. Is this your card? It don't work. Everybody looking around. I'm like, oh. So I had to go there, you know. I couldn't be embarrassed with you. I went in my wallet. I said, hold up, I pull out 100. I said, yeah, do that work. Boy, them boys like that. They was doing, how y'all do that? They was like, you know, go ahead, Sister Pat. Go ahead, Sister Pat. They think you was going to bail us out. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Thank God I had that money. It was for somebody else's bill, but I couldn't let it go down like that. So, when it came back and hit a ticket, and I'm looking at 3 times what I thought it was going to be, I'm like, okay, God, it's all right. It's all right. Because the experience was priceless.
Yes, yes,
the experience was priceless. When the lady came back to mansion, was everything all right? I said, I ain't appreciate her loud talking me in the restaurant with everybody talking about my car. It didn't work. No, it wasn't all right, you know. Because I knew the money was in there. You have to understand, it wasn't like I knew it was in there. I'm getting ready to give you a heads up on what's getting ready to happen. I had just shared this with her at the table, prophetically. Watch this now. And so the little manager come out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you. Say it out loud. She said, it wasn't your card, it was the system.
Yes.
See, the end of the year just changed. From 2011 to 2012, and all the systems, when the card expired December 31st, have not changed over. This is what you need to be aware of your money. A lot of systems are about to fail.
Yes.
You can write that down.
Yes.
You're going to be able to try to go to the bank. You're going to say, you don't have no money. You're going to say, the devil is a lie. Just put my whole check up in there. Don't fight nobody. I'm telling you now, the world system has already crumbled. We got to get into God's economy. God's economy is sowing and reaping. We got to get out of the world system from paycheck to paycheck, and all I got is this, and know that God is going to give us increase. He said, I'll give seed to the sower.
Yes.
Somebody say, the world system
has crumbled.
I need to operate in the kingdom system, in God's system, which is sowing and reaping. You need to find somebody to sow in their life every week. If not every day. Look, I've been through 3 hurricanes. When Katrina hit on my birthday, I'm in a food stamp line. The big mega broker on the TV and on the billboard. I'm in a food stamp line because I couldn't get no money out of the bank. You need to be ready so fear won't grip your heart. You don't be upset when they change. We can't give you your paycheck because our system is down. Don't get upset. Go in your prayer closet and say, God, you told me you love me. It got to do like Jesus did. You're going to loose my money. We got to have the right attitude, church, right now. I'm telling you what's getting ready to happen. Them cell phones ain't going to work too much longer. Every day they falling now. You call somebody, text somebody, they don't get to an hour later. Why you ain't call me? I didn't get it. You lying. You did get it. No, they didn't get it. Can I tell you, texting is not of God?
Amen.
Why? Because the word says we should speak to the mountain and command it to be moved. So if we're to be speaking, we are to be audible. There's no audible sound in texting. And it has stopped the mouths of children at dinner table in the classroom. They don't even look up and talk. They texting. Breaking down the communication of the family. And they got to have every phone that come out and they change them every 3 months. Get off that texting. I told them, I don't text me. I don't know when is the last time I might hear your voice or you might hear mine. Texting is a form of control because when somebody texts you, they expect you to text them back right now. I'm driving, honey. Or praying or doing something other than wait till you send a text. And I don't even know half of the stuff they be talking anyway. Got text dictionaries. Yeah. Breaking down the English language. Yeah. Somebody texted me the other day. Da, da, da. I text them back. Question mark. What do that mean? Shaking my head. Oh, okay then. It's not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it does not line up with the word of God. The devil is trying to silence the believers. The believers need to start making a lot of noise and testifying about the goodness of God. Oh, yeah. Then the Lord, that servant, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of the debt. Because, and I didn't do it for this reason, because I heard the voice of God and obeyed the voice of God and took the family out to dinner. The mother told me the next day, she said, you know what? And I was telling you about the card. I called her to apologize. I said, I probably got a little radical in front of your children. Because she said, you know, my children down earth and you down earth and they love you. No, it wasn't right. She said, but this is what I got to tell you. When you called and asked me about dinner, I was just standing up telling my neighbor, I don't know what I'm going to feed my children when they get out of school. And somebody had blessed me. That's God's economy. Saints, if you don't get nothing out of the day, please start giving. Please start sowing. Please stop hoarding. I'm sorry for hollering at the baby, but you know, that rap music and all that stuff be louder than that. And here's something else. If you want to buy some stock for some eardrum thing, hearing aids, because all these young generation ain't going to be able to hear when they get your age, my age, all that boom, 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 boom. The doggone speaker's bigger than the car.
Yes, yes, yes.
The sound system worth more than the car, and the rims don't even go with the car. I don't know about Louisiana, but in Mobile, they got rental rims. I said, now, ain't that nothing? You perpetrate. You deceive. You gonna go rent some $500 rims to go down the street. Car leaning, ain't got no insurance. Don't hit me. You know what I do? I'm bold, right? You know, I ask God. I said, turn that down. I don't want to hear that. And they look at me late. I said, boy, if you don't turn that music down, you call that authority under the anointing. In love. Gotta add the love. Because, see, you don't want to get shot. I remember we had to clean us up. We had the vision cleaners up, scenic highway, and they had to drive one. And I'm trying to place my order, and the car behind me, the people say, what you say? What you say? And I reached over in that window to tell her, will you turn that down? And there was a piece. There was a gun on the window. I said, would you please turn your music down, please? So I could place my order, and you could turn it back up. They said, yes, ma'am. Ay-ya. Everything by the Holy Ghost. Say by the Holy Ghost. Say, I gotta have the Holy Ghost. I gotta operate in the Holy Ghost. I gotta move by the Holy Ghost. I gotta talk by the Holy Ghost. And I gotta run by the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't like me up in here. When I'm at home, the bishop told me, he says, Sister Pat, just go ahead and do what God told you to do. I said, okay, I've been up all night. Y'all think I ain't gonna give y'all this word? About to get this. Because God wants you out of debt. And there's only one way to get out of debt. There's only one way. It ain't consolidating. Excuse me. It is not consolidating. It is not filing bankruptcy. It is not mortgaging your house and selling stuff. It is not working on your job till you retire. You will not get out of debt those ways. God has only one way to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, why is not running over for the body of Christ? Because they don't believe. That's right, Mama. It's all right to be honest. See, when God showed me somewhere, when I'm, you know, I almost said, when I ain't lining up, I quickly, Lord, I'm so sorry, help my unbelief. When a mountain come before me, because he said, I want you to teach my people how to speak to the mountains and command them to move. I didn't know I was going to have to go through the Grand Canyon of debt and all of that stuff before I learned about the mountains. But, Lord, I learned them now. And I'm not going to say like somebody, I've been to the mountaintop and I have a dream. No, I'm speaking to the mountains, baby. I ain't trying to stay on the mountaintop. I'm trying to stay down here in the valley because trees grow in the valley and help somebody else speak to their mountain and command them to be moved. Let me tell you what's happening. I was riding, you know, I was driving. I'm dangerous on the highway. I was DWI driving while I ignited. And the Lord be speaking to me. He says, some people here, God. Now, I'm not here to prophesy. I don't have to do that. I was in real estate 30 years, so people expect me to come in and prophesy, prophesy a house. I ain't prophesying your house. You can't pay for it. That's why they got all them foreclosures now. Put people in stuff they can't afford because deception has come in. And, oh, God, I'm getting off my subject. You know, the Bible saying there'll be riches and wealth. There's a difference between riches and wealth. This body of Christ, unfortunately, has been deceived going after riches and God trying to get you to get the anointing for wealth. If you get the anointing for wealth, baby, riches going to come. And favor and honor. When you got favor, you don't need credit. I used to have a Mercedes Benz. I don't know if y'all remember that Mercedes Benz here. But I got that. She was telling me to tell this when I came. I got that Mercedes Benz. Boy, that thing was pretty. Anybody remember that car? 2000 Silver Sport E430. That baby was bad. And I knew it was bad. I want you to know I went in the dealership without a dime. And I put a license plate on it that said favor. And the people said, well, ma'am, we've been turned down four times. Would you get out here? We about to go to lunch. I said, you better get me some too because I'm not going nowhere. I done heard from God. He didn't want me to go get no hoopty. You know, I got something. I ain't got no note. You ain't got no car either. I ain't getting in there with you. Go around the corner, got to push. Go God wants his people to have the best. Excellent, but without debt. You know how I got that Mercedes? Because I gave away a car and I walked for 6 months. I was doing a home buyer seminar in New Orleans, and God said, give your car to them people. I said, I don't even know them people. And it was Easter. I'll never forget. Good Friday call. Woman of God, what you doing? I'm just sitting here. I said, golly, that's the people God told me to get a car to. It wasn't no raggedy car either. This is a nice car. He never drove no raggedy car. Why don't you come on down? We're going to have a fellowship. I'm like, oh, Lord. Good Friday, long way. I said, okay. I walked out of the house. Holy Ghost said, you ain't get that other set of keys. I'm like, oh. I got the keys. I walked in the people's house. And when I walked in, the wife said, Sister Pat, you're a blessing. One day you're going to give away houses and cars. I'm like, see, a servant of the Most High God hears the voice of God and obeys God, trusts God, and wait on God to deliver. Yes. I gave them through my car and had to get a ride home. Not round the corner from New Orleans, back to Baton Rouge. And had to walk for 6 months. But I knew I was a servant of God. Any servants in here? And I know his word said, you will not be made ashamed. But I sure was tired of walking. I mean, one night I was walking, somebody was meeting me. I'm like, come on, God, move. Get over here. And those who I thought would come pick me up, after I testified that I had gave my car away, those close to me who would ride with me, who I thought would come pick me up, not to go to the club, to go to church. Well, you gave your car away, that's your problem. You stupid, you didn't obey you. They didn't say obey, you gave your car away. I ain't tell you that. God ain't told you that. You ain't got none. Jesus. Man, 6 months walking. Rain. But guess what? I didn't look like I was walking. I was working at the community college teaching professor of real estate. My student would say, Sister, did we see you walking? I said, mind your business, child. Take the test. Doing in my business. I thought I saw you walking last night after class. Shut up. But see, I was being a servant to someone else who was in ministry who I didn't know had lost $1 million company. And because I was a servant, I learned to serve whether I knew them or not. And was moved by hearing the voice of God. God blessed me. He blessed me over and over again. Over and over again. Oh, I wish they had some servants in the house that would move with compassion, that's willing to let it go. I was here in revival. So another story. Help me with the time because I got a lot of testimonies. Because they say you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. I'm already just rolling testimonies. Get off me, devil. I got a testimony. I ain't shame. I am not shame. Excuse me. We have some English scholars in here. I don't know where this tape may be going. So, what was I saying? What's the testimony I was about to tell? Which one it was? I forgot which one I was about to tell. Oh, okay. It'll come back to me. Maybe I was supposed to tell that one. Arrival. Revival. All right, Holy Ghost, I have to bring it back to me. Okay, anyway, I'm getting ready to close because I believe y'all got this compassion, right? You got to be moved by compassion. You got to be obedient. And you got to know you're a servant of God. If you serve somebody, oh, my God. Ooh, Sister Woody, would you help me? Would you hold this mic right quick while I get ready to serve you all? See, there's certain things about serving. There's a certain anointing when you serve. Yeah, what restaurant you go in. You serve a certain aura about you. You're not yourself. I love the gift of hospitality when people come in and I can serve them. Amen. I don't like when people say, get in the paper plate, baby. I got fine china. Ain't no paper plates up in here. you got to put on a certain apparel when you're getting ready to serve. And when you go to the restaurant, there's a certain way that Jesus had that cloth and say, can I serve you today?
Yes,
how can I help? See, you serve me. You don't know how bad I needed those handkerchiefs, woman of God. Oh, I know God done bless you. It's not over yet.
Yes, sir.
See, how many of you got your Holy Ghost servant apparel on? Can they see your apron? Can they see that you a servant, or you all that? I'm Miss High and Mighty. I'm Bishop Apostle Doodle. I mean Tutu.
Brother Anthony, what did she say?
Damn, I ain't gonna wash your feet. Then get it the best way you can. Got to know how to humble yourself. And be able to serve one another. You served me when I came in your place. I was tired. I had been beaten up on the devil, and he tried to beat up on me. And you served me. And that was a refreshing because you served. See, you cannot be a servant without compassion. You look beautiful today. Just absolutely gorgeous. There's a glory and anointing on you. And because of that servant spirit, before this year is out, you're going to have a testimony go around the world.
Jesus.
Write it down. Write it down. Got it on tape, right? Got it on tape. Bible says, prophets out loud, they die. Ain't ready to die. I got a couple more years ago. I told you, I got to go to 120.
Right.
Y'all saying that's right. I have an uncle that's 92 years old. He just come back from a 14-day trip in Africa.
Amen.
I'm like, okay, hey, what you doing? Oh, Pat, let me tell you about it. I got another one that's 94. He practices law.
Yeah.
He go to his law office every day in his right mind, not onto his law office in coat. So when I think my little young butt getting tired, I'm like, certain genes in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that say it ain't over till it's over. Devil, you thought you had me. You should have killed me when you had me. You know, fool around and let me get up. You know, fool around and let me get a revelation on how to be compassionate and how to serve the man and woman of God, how to serve the little children, how to move myself out the way because I'm nothing without Christ Jesus, how to live and move in his being. I done learned a revelation on what it means to be compassionate, unconditional love, to give and serve. I want to unleash the word of prophets. I got to check with Bishop. Tomorrow is a holiday. Martin Luther King Day. The bank's going to be closed, so you can't do no business no way. There's too much to do, right? I don't want to leave your hand. But see, it don't even matter how you dress it up. When you're a servant, it don't matter about your title and your apparel. I can be a servant with skinny jeans on and boots.
Yes.
I can be a servant with a $500 Lillian Taylor suit on. I can be a servant with an education. I can be a servant with a GED. Young man, I want you to know I see the Lord is blessing you academically. I don't know, there's been some things the enemy maybe has been trying to hinder you and hold you back. But God is getting ready to release your memory and release clarity to you. You're going to excel. What grade are you in? A grade, you're going to excel by the time you in college, by high school. If you get to 12th grade, you're going to have scholarships coming to you from all over. Don't be moved by those that's hating on you and jealous of you, son. You just keep on looking good like you're looking. You're handsome. You ain't got no earrings in your ear like you know, sissy. Stand up. I don't think your pants hanging off of you. I don't see no tattoos. And God wants you to be an example and an ambassador of Christ. And he's going to raise you up, son. I don't know if you're in sports, but you'll excel in sports. But I do see you excelling in academics. People say, why you go to that church? Why you go to church? Because your destiny and your blessings are in this church. Don't you let the devil move you out of position. God is about to get a word, put a word in your mouth and a testimony in your mouth like none other. So many people going to get set free and delivered as a result of your testimony. There will be no shackles and there will be no hindrances, woman of God. I'm telling, and there will be no lack. I'm trying to tell you now, the enemy may come questioning you about your position, but you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and whatever prayer request you have before the Lord say he has not forgotten you, that he's going to answer, and he's going to settle some matters that's civil, and you're going to win, and you're going to come out on top smelling like a rose, because he wants to give you a testimony. I'm Cannon, stand up. Is it Cannon? Is that right? Yeah. My memory serving me right. Your time is not up. I hear like Hezekiah, turn your face to the wall and say, you need to get your business in order because you're getting ready to die. The devil is a lie. God said he's adding 15 plus years to your life. You will have no arthritis. You will have no pain. You will have no hindrances. There will be no surgeries. God is about to lift your legs up, woman. Lift them up. God is doing something up in this house today. If you want to run, you'll be able to run. If you want to cook, you can cook. If you want to sing, you can sing. There are no limitations because God is moving it off of you. And he's moving in your household too. He's moving those spirits that's been trying to steal your joy. But God said today your joy will overflow. Your joy is being made full. Today, God said, because you don't know how much he loved you. He said he loved you too much for you to go down like that. See, you know how to serve. I see you with men clothing, sir. I see you, I don't know, orchestrating a business or a boutique or something for somebody, even as a consultant or for yourself. I see God using you in the business arena as an entrepreneur. Don't worry about what you have done, don't have not done, what you know and what you don't know. I'm saying in this economy, God is going to bless people through businesses. He's going to give you creative ideas, witty invention. Don't be surprised when the opportunity come to you to manage, operate, run, and multiply businesses. How much time? 2 minutes? Let me make sure I did all the scriptures. At the end of the day, love and compassion will win. There's a difference between God done redeemed the time. Praise you, Jesus. There's a difference between love and compassion. Did you know that? Amen. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection.
Yes, it is.
Affection. Now, they got it mixed up. A lot of people got it mixed up. They got love and lust mixed up. I've been there myself, so I know. I love you. No, I lust you. Fine thing, you. Sure. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Compassion is a sympathetic pity for the misfortunes and concerns of others. Love is about self. Compassion is about other. Can we shift it in here? Can we get some compassion going? And I need you to say it's not about me. It's not about us. Whatever you're going through is to develop a testimony for somebody else. And God counted you worthy to finish the test and to pass the test so that he'll have a testimony in this earth.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Compassionate, and in order to have any, the origin is passion. What passion has the devil stole from you? It's in your passion that you don't get tired. People have called me, I need to get back in real estate. The devil is a lie. I'm loving this preaching. Y'all had me in that world for 30-something years. I ain't trying to go back and deal with other people's problems on that side of the fence. Let me come over here in the kingdom and give you some contracts that's written in Genesis to Revelation. Love and compassion. In order to be compassionate, you must have a passion. And the people in the body of Christ have lost their passion because the world has wore them down, beat them up, caused doubt and unbelief and worry and just too much of this. And then I just can't take it no more. But I come today so that you can get your passion back. Holy Spirit, blow on your passion. Oh, my God. Oh, if you start being passionate about what God has put in your heart. What passion can you find here in the house of God? I remember, man, I remember when we were over there on whatever street it was in the church. I know the name of it. I'm sorry, but thank you for helping me, Elder. Thank you for helping me. But you know what? I didn't have money, but I had time. And I wasn't looking for no paycheck. I was youth pastor 9 years, and I don't say this negatively, and never looked for a paycheck. Yeah. But Lord, when I see the children now that's not children, grown with their children, and see the fruit, and God's word say I have sons and daughters all over, oh, I am a blessed woman. Yeah. When you serve in the house of God, you don't necessarily serve for a paycheck. See, that's different from the world. You have to know where your blessings come from. It's going to come from the man upstairs going to bless you because you've been faithful over a few things, and he'll make you ruler over many. Is there anything in the house you could be passionate about? What need? Give me some, show me what need to be done. Now, don't know. God, you show me. Because it said Jesus, when Jesus saw, he was moved with compassion. What do you see that you can do?
About all that, she's doing good till she start talking about that. Well, see, that's it. You want all the frills and bells and whistles, and you don't want to make no sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed. God sacrificed his only son. How much more? How much more he gave his only son as a sacrifice? And we won't sacrifice. We don't want to suffer with Christ. With not y'all, but them selfish people. I got mine, better get his. Ooh, let me touch on this. I'm about to close. Lord, you better tell me I ain't got but 2 minutes left. I'm telling you now. Lord, getting ready to step on some. Step on the devil.
Oh, Lord, you really want me to say this? Okay, let me give you a definition for servant. Servant is a tireless servant of God. I was so motivated in that revival, and Bishop Pate preaching like an angel from heaven every day and night and going get on a machine to live.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Now, some of us have our good health and strength. We don't have to go on a machine to live. But why you got to go on a machine to live and fight the world? Where's your compassion towards the man of God? You have to understand, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be saved. It's because he was ministering the word in a bookstore, a poem, and the anointing drew me. It's because we went to a play called Angels on Assignment that I got saved. And you think I ain't going to come back and say, what can I do to help? I had a spiritual daughter. I sat in the hospital with her after Katrina 45 days. We had to go out the country because there wasn't no hospital there. And I stood with her with that cancer and everything until they put that dialysis machine on us. I can't take this.
Yes.
It was too much like Jesus. Ever I knew a man of God that preaches Jesus. It's the white deep paper. And if I were you, I'm like this. This is my attitude. I ain't letting it go down like that.
Yeah.
I don't care what happened between Alpha and Omega. With the end of the thing is better than the beginning.
Yes.
You want to know why your house and your business just going in circles? It's because you got out of God's system of sowing and reaping into the world system of looking at what you had in your hand and what you're going to get. And it's about to dry up. I want to prophesy. I want to lay hands. But you know what? I don't have nothing to do with compassion and being a servant right now.
Amen.
I ain't going to do no bells and whistles and frills and thrills and all of that. I'm telling you what I know. I done had more houses than I can count, more cars than I can drive. I have given away because I sold in this ministry. Not because I was so smart. I am. But God graced me. And when I got ready to step out, the Lord said, you go back home, girl. Or you go all over the world. You forget, go back and say thank you. I would not let myself sleep at night knowing the person responsible for that God used to get me where I am, go down by himself.
I want to break the devil back of poverty for your life and off this ministry, because the spirit of oppression has come in here and set and waiting on him, like he's waiting on him to die. The devil is a lie. He shall live and not die. He done did too many miracles for other people for God not to give him a miracle. And he's going to do it through you being servants. Move with compassion. It's enough people in here to pray to say, God, do it now.